Welcome to Harvest Amarillo Podcast. We're excited you have chosen to listen in today. May God encourage you through this message to live a life of value, of fullness, and fruitfulness for His kingdom.
Good morning, Harvest. Good morning. Woo! Man, is it hot in here? Yeah. Y'all ever have mixed feelings? I have mixed feelings right now. Yeah, part of me is really excited to share with you what I'm going to share with you today. And part of me is a little bit apprehensive because there's some young adults in the room that's known me their entire lives. And they know this man. Not the old man. You know, I got to get some disclaimers out of the way. Right up front. Yeah, I'm not a pastor. I'm a discipler. So I'm not going to speak as eloquent as Curtis. Matter of fact, when he asked me, he said, you know, when you get done, maybe people will appreciate just how good I really am. Yeah. And that's for sure. You know, Curtis is so true to the scriptures. Man, that's what I love about him. He is so true to the scriptures. His foundation is that word. And man, I'm grateful for him in my life. I'm grateful for him in this body because this body has changed my life. This talk that I'm going to share with you changed my life. And, you know, we're going to explore today what the Bible actually says about your status with God. I believe that it could transform your walk with God if you choose to believe the truth. You can tell I'm nervous up here, don't you? I'm walking around like a little banny rooster. Man. Ooh, we're going to have fun, you know. I'll get fired up here in a minute, and we're liable to go to 1:30. Just like Curtis. Yeah. Now, Romans 3, 21 through 22 says, now, God has shown us a way to be made right with Him without keeping the requirements of the law. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. Today's big idea is Jesus is our righteousness. Romans 1:16 says, for I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes. You know, the gospel is designed to bring us power and wholeness into the life of every believer. Why is it that so many Christians don't experience that? You know, I feel like for me, I was stuck in my sin. I had shame. I hadn't forgiven myself. You know, sometimes, you know, I think many of us feel powerless in our sin. Even think that I must be messed up. I'm not good enough. Or it didn't really work for me. You know, I don't know how many of you in here live two lives. But I've lived too. I lived a life BC and a life AC. A life before Christ and a life after Christ. Ooh, what a difference. And there's nobody in this room right now. Let me look. Be sure. Yeah, Kevin's not in here. Kevin Hartman's out serving. Kevin knew me BC. Nobody else in this room knew me BC. And I was a lot different. Now, I was kind of hoping Kevin would be in here because he'd actually tell you how much better looking I was back then. And a lot better physique, too. But I was different back then. You know, I was actually a decent person. I'd do about anything for anybody. I had a great work ethic. I was somewhat of an encourager. You know, I'd accepted Christ at the age of 12, but I never developed a personal relationship with him. And through the years, the world would just suck me back in, right back into a sin pattern. You know, and I didn't really understand that. You know, I was full of pride, chasing money and prestige. You know, I wanted to be recognized. I was married with two young children. Till I ruined it all by having an affair. And I knew it was wrong. That night, I asked God's forgiveness because I knew I'd sinned. But I continued in that affair, continued in that sin, even though I knew it was wrong. Eventually, I was so riddled with guilt that I confessed that. And ultimately ended my family in a divorce. That was BC. I later met Kim. So blessed to be loved by such a godly woman who has been a big part of who I am in Christ today. You know, BC, man, I had a heart that was so hard, I would never cry. I tell everybody all the time, my heart was so hard, it was just like a coconut. Had hair growing on the outside of it. Woo! I prayed to God to change my heart, to soften my heart. And now, I'm the biggest crybaby there is. Man, I got tissues in my pocket. You know, I stand here today, and to be honest, I care less what any of you currently think about me now. Because none of you could cover that sin. Only Christ could. Why did we get so hung up on what other people think? I did, but not anymore. Romans 1:17 says, "For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith." You know, for in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. The good news is Jesus is my righteousness. Jesus is your righteousness. You know, righteousness, I didn't really understand what it meant. You know, I don't know if you do. I'm going to give you a couple of definitions. The big definition, the fancy definition, is that which is right, which is just, which is expected by the one who sets the rules. In Christ, all of God's expectations and requirements have been met for you and for me. In his death, burial, and resurrection, all the things pertaining to righteousness with God are complete. The simple definition for righteousness, it is as it should be between me and God. You can build your life on one of two foundations. The first foundation is works righteousness. Works righteousness is based upon my performance. It's a foundation of shifting sand. See, that's one reason I'm not a preacher. I can't talk very good. And I'm pretty country. Again, works righteousness is based upon my performance. you know, what I do. You know, after walking with Christ for over 15 years, I had fully accepted his forgiveness, but I still didn't understand righteousness. I'll never forget reading 1 Corinthians 6:9. Do you know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? The unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. And this is a thought that went through my mind. Well, if the unrighteous isn't going to inherit the kingdom, what do I got to do to be righteous? Because I didn't want to spend the next 40 or 50 years following Christ to get to the end and figure out that I missed the boat and I didn't make it in, right? And so I remember Josh Buller and I talking about this, you know, and I began to search the scriptures on righteousness. And in my study Bible, there's 57 verses on righteous and 79 verses on righteousness. And man, I started going through every one of them because I wanted to figure out what I needed to do to be righteous. I don't know if I'm just that slow or that country, but I still didn't figure it out, you know. And not until about 8 years ago, right here in this room. Now, it looked a lot different 8 years ago. Man, there was orange carpet and pews. There's one of them orange pews back there in the corner, just so we don't forget how good it looks today. Man, Brett, you've done an amazing job in this facility. Man, this place looks great. But 8 years ago, right here, coming to freedom in Christ, it totally changed my life. And I believe if you'll accept what's Christ done, it'll totally change yours as well. The second foundation is faith righteousness. And faith righteousness is based upon Jesus' performance. And I'm telling you, it's rock solid. Faith righteousness is about what you believe. It's about what you and I truly believe. And only one of these two foundations will stand. Let me ask you, what's your foundation? You know, works righteousness is about falling and failing. It's about your performance. You know, I thought these nerves would calm down, but they ain't. I'm still up here walking around like a little banty rooster. I might have to start doing something. Works righteousness is about you carrying a scorecard around, right? You carrying a scorecard around. And every time you messed up, there's a check. Blessed if I'm good. I might fall off here. Cursed if I'm bad, right? Isaiah said, there's none righteous, no, not one. Paul said, my righteousness is but filthy rags, right? Because it's talking about ours. Faith righteousness is about Jesus' performance, not mine. And he performed fully at the cross. It's done. You know, but it wasn't so much that he fixed my scorecard. He changed the game altogether. You've completely left the world of scorecard righteousness, works righteousness, and entered into something totally different. You became something totally different. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. An incredible transformation happened in your heart, and you became new. What kind of new? 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for our sake, He made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to literally become sin on our behalf. When he became sin, the wrath of God was poured out on him, and he took our penalty. A profound exchange took place. He literally became our sin, and we became his righteousness. That's powerful. Here's the truth. Romans 5:19 says, "For as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous." Righteousness is now our nature. It can't be taken away. It can't be lost. It's a free gift. A gift through faith. Righteousness is, as it should be, between you and God. Jesus is my righteousness. It's about his performance, not mine anymore. Romans 9:30-32 says, "What shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained it? That is, a righteousness that is by faith? But that Israel, who pursued a law that would lead to righteousness, did not succeed in reaching that law. Why? Because they didn't pursue it in faith, but as if it were based on works. They have stumbled over the stumbling stone." The Israelites spent their life trying to obtain a righteousness by performance, and it never worked. The Gentiles, who never pursued righteousness, suddenly obtained it, because it was by faith. You just got to believe. You know, the bottom line is, when you came to Christ, you received a free gift. You became a righteous creation. Maybe your faith got confused by religion, your performance, works righteousness. Maybe the power of the gospel was short-circuited. You feel like you missed that transformation. Today, I'm not asking you to do something. I'm asking you to believe something. Maybe for the first time. John 6:28-29 says, "Then they said to him, 'What must we do to be doing the works of God?' Jesus answered them, 'This is the work of God, that you believe in whom he sent.'" Simply believe and trust that what Jesus did was complete, that it was good enough. That's enough for you and it's enough for me. Man, this is going pretty good. We're going to get out of here early. You know, believing you're righteous in Jesus is the first step in experiencing the power of the gospel to set you free. The first step in experiencing freedom in Christ. I know this is meant for someone in the room. You're sitting there saying, "Yeah, it worked for you, but you don't know my sin. My sin is so big. How could God ever forgive me?" And how do I know somebody in here is feeling like that? Because I did. Walked around in shame and guilt. I don't know about you. You ever seen that deal on TV where it shows, you know, a little Satan over here and an angel over here on this side. And you look over here and here's little red legs spewing junk into your head. Like you're guilty. You're unworthy. You're a sinner. You're lost. You don't deserve forgiveness. How could anybody forgive what you did? Stop. Stop listening to that little puke who is a liar and a deceiver. He keeps you beat down. You know, I saw a deal one time and it was an enactment. And in this enactment, they was interviewing Satan. And they said, if you could have any part of a human, what would it be? You know, their heart? No. He said, their mind. Because if Jesus has their heart, I could never take it. But if I can get their mind, if I can get inside of their head, I can convince them to give me their heart. Whew. We're fixed to start preaching now. We listen to the lies of someone that just wants to destroy us instead of the truth. Man, of a God that loves us. The truth that is in that word that's free for all of us if we'll just forgive ourselves and accept what God says about us. God says you're forgiven. God says you're worthy. God says you're redeemed. God says, I love you. God says, I love you right where you're at. God says, I love you so much, I gave my son to die on the cross for you so you never have to listen to that junk that little red legs continues to throw into your head. I love you right where you're at, but I love you so much that I'm not going to let you stay there. I'm going to take you to the next level. I'm going to help you forgive yourself. You're redeemed. Man, I used to say this. I used to say, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Stop it. You once may have been a sinner, but the day you gave your life to Christ, you're righteous. You're whole. You're holy. You've been set free. It doesn't mean that we don't mess up and we still fall and we still may sin. But you know what? You're a son or a daughter. You're no longer a sinner. You've been given power to overcome any sin in your life. So stop listening to that junk. Forgive yourself. Your slate has been wiped clean. It says that it's like he never even knew your sin. The problem is here. You know your sin. You know what you did, and you can't forgive yourself. Accept the free gift of righteousness that Jesus hung on the cross that you, so that you could have. You know, because here's the other thing. If you don't accept that, what you're saying is what Jesus did on the cross wasn't enough for me. Really? What Jesus did was enough to forgive the sin of every person in this world. So quit walking in unforgiveness for yourself and accept the gift that he's given you. Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. He didn't say, seek your righteousness. He said, seek his righteousness. See, you have no righteousness. But when you accept Christ, you have his righteousness. A free gift. It just requires a little bit of faith and requires you to forgive yourself. I'm gonna have to, you know, I don't know where you're at. Maybe you've never accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Maybe you felt like you were unworthy for that forgiveness, or that your sin was too big, too great. I'm telling you, it's not. There's nothing that can't be overcome by the power of the cross. Nothing. Maybe you was like me. You've been walking with Christ a long time, but you really don't have a personal relationship with him. And you're maybe holding back, or maybe you haven't fully accepted it. You know it up here, but it hadn't moved from your head to your heart. Maybe that's you today. These people are up here for you, to pray with you, to walk with you, to love on you, to share that there's no shame. There's total freedom when you accept Christ. Unconditional love. Maybe you just can't get past little red legs spewing that junk in your head. Come up here and get prayer. Get help. Because it's you that's not letting that move to your heart. You know, maybe you're just struggling in relationship, or maybe you got some health issues. Whatever it is, we're here for you. To pray with you, to love on you, and to share the righteousness that is here for you. It's a free gift. Just faith. Just have to believe that what Christ did was good enough. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you so much. Father, I personally thank you for changing my life. Father, not only through what you did on the cross by covering my sin, but also, Father, for showing me that it wasn't based upon what I did. It was based upon what Jesus did. And if I would just accept that and internalize that, I could walk in freedom. I could walk in the power of the gospel. Thank you, Father, for that promise. Father, for those that need prayer now, Father, I just pray that they'll come to you. Father, we thank you, we praise you, we give you all the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name.